Let's look at the Isaiah book again. Isaiah chapter 41. Over the years, I've preached a lot from the book of Isaiah. Hundreds of sermons I've preached out of this blessed portion of God's word. Never get tired of it. Never, ever even scratch the surface of it. But Isaiah 41, one verse there. Paul said in the Ephesian letter, inspired of the Lord, he says, the Lord does all things after the counsel of his own will. He does. I believe that, don't you? I believe I've taught that pretty well from so many sections of the scripture, that the Lord does all things. He does all things. God does all things after the counsel of his own will. What he has decreed, he has and will do until it's all fulfilled. He'll leave nothing unfulfilled. Everything that he purposed before this world began, but whether it's in your life in particular, whether it's in the world's business all over, and universal, God will do according to what he has willed. In Isaiah 41, one verse, verse 18, we read this. I will, that's God speaking there. He says, I will open rivers in high places. That's unusual, isn't it? Rivers usually flow in the valley, doesn't it? That's a common place where we find rivers. But he said, I'm going to open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. There's two I wills there. I will open rivers in high places. I will make the wilderness a pool of water. But there's more I wills in this chapter here than those two. Matter of fact, this verse, verse number 18, is almost the center verse of the chapter, verse 29 verses in the chapter. In this verse, the Lord says twice, I will. And it respects, that I believe respects, the verse itself is a harmony with the rest of the chapter. When we come to the I wills of God, then we get among the very precious things of the Lord. Always note those when you read them. There's hundreds of them in the Old Testament and the New Testament. When God says, I will, note that. Just mark you a little, highlight that a little bit. Maybe put you a little circle around it and think about it. Stop and think about what he said when he says, I will. That's God speaking. That's God who controls all things. The Almighty One, who works all things after the counsel of his own will. That's he speaking there. And it's noteworthy to pay attention to what he's saying. We live in a day when folks by the droves are denying that that God's involved in anything. While in fact, Gary's involved in everything. Nothing is slipping up on God. Now, you and I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the day, especially tomorrow, or this coming year, what's going to take place. A lot of activity is going on right now. Very vital activity is going on right now. And it pertains to you and I. It's going to affect you and I. And we hope that it works out this way, that will favor us. But who knows but God? And we do know this, that though we might be disappointed, whatever comes about, we may be disappointed, but we do know this, that all things work together according to the counsel of his own will. And that he makes all things work together for the good. We read this, don't we? For the good to those that love him. To those who are the called according to his purpose. We know that. I mean, that's etched in, as it were, in stone. That's not going to be erased. That's, the Bible says his word is settled in heaven. Nobody's going to tamper with it there, are they? They may change it here and there, down here with a pen or a print, or a printing machine, but they can't touch what's written in heaven. So rest in it. Rest in it. So when we come to the I wills of God, then we get among the precious things, I think, the deep things, the things that which bring comfort and strength to the people of God. It does me. It does me. It brings strength and comfort to me when I read what God says he will do. Nothing has failed him yet. Nothing concerning what he said concerning me has failed him yet. I will. I will. And I said this chapter here, verse number 18, puts in harmony the rest of the chapter. We read in verse number 10. He says, "For thou, or fear thou not. He's talking to Jacob here, talking to his people, his covenant people, who are referred to as Jacob. And he says to them, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I thy Lord," he says, "I will strengthen thee. Be not dismayed, for I thy Lord, I will strengthen thee. Yea," here it is again, "I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." That's three times in that verse number 10 he says what he's going to do. I will, I will, I will. Then verse number 13 he says, "For I the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." Does that encourage you? "I will help thee." That's God talking. That's my God talking. He's talking very direct right here from his word right now, Steve, right here. He's not somewhere off in the wild blue yonder saying this. He's right here in our midst where two or three are gathered together. "I will be there." Speaking to you in the word, his blessed word. We can count on that. Be encouraged with that. He says in verse number 14, "Fear not." He says, "Thou worm, Jacob." That's me. "Thou worm, thou worm." That's all I am, a worm. But he came to say worms, didn't he? Worms. Let's don't water that down. That's us. So he says, "Fear not," verse 14, "thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel," here it is again, "I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I will help thee." Then in verse 15, he says, "Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument." I'm going to do something with you. Talking about his nation. Talking about us. His people. He said, "I'm going to do something with you. I'm going to make you a new, sharp, threshing instrument." And he says, "Thou shalt thresh the mountains." And of course, the mountains many times used in the Word of God, especially the Old Testament, in reference as an allusion to the nations. So he says, I will make thee a new threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills of chaff. Now listen to what I'm saying here. He's talking about what the church is going to do with the gospel. The gospel is his instrument, his sharp threshing instrument, that he'll thresh down the mountains, the nations with. It'll be with the sword and the munitions. It'll be through the gospel of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll thresh this world and bring it into subjection to his blessed Lord. Didn't he say, I'll make all thine enemies, talking to his Son, he said, I'll make thine enemies thy footstool? You'll rest your foot upon the neck of all your enemies. That's coming, folks. That's coming just as sure as I'm standing in this pulpit. I know there's differences of opinion, differences concerning schools of thought of how this thing go work out. But God Almighty, you mark it down, is going to win this battle. He's going to win this battle. That's for sure. And his church, his people, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ will not leave this world defeated. Lady called yesterday, talking to Pastor, a good friend of hers, talking about how bad times are, what her family is purposing to do, the whole of them, is to move out of where all the vice and the violence taking place and try to get away from it. And she said, maybe the Lord will come back. Maybe the Lord will come back and take us out of this. Yeah, well, listen to me, folks. Maybe he just might not do it. And maybe it might be 2 or 3 weeks before he does it. What are you going to do in the meantime? Huh? Learn to live. And learn to live with all of the constant opposition that's against the church and the gospel. And live with hope that God Almighty is going to fulfill all his will. And bring victory through the gospel. I believe that. This rapture theory is nothing but an escape theory. It's like the old song that old Eddie Arnold used to sing, right? Stop the world and let me off. Oh, I want to ride it out. Be here as long as I can, proclaiming the gospel just as long as I can, living with hope in my heart as long as I can, and trying to encourage you to do the same. He said in verse 19, this chapter, 41:19, he says, I will, there it is again, I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the chittim tree and the myrtle and the oil tree. And then he says, I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree. And together. In other words, he said, the master horticulture is going to make this wilderness world absolutely beautiful. Where its vegetation has died out spiritually. Now, this is spiritually. Where its vegetation has died out spiritually. He said it's going to blossom. It's going to blossom. The rose is going to blossom in the desert and make a beautiful garden. That's what the gospel, if the gospel ever takes hold, folks, it's going to do that. I'll guarantee it. The gospel will do to this world what it's done to your soul as a sinner. Your soul was once a wilderness. Your soul, Jason, was once a desert place. But the Almighty God caused it to blossom like the rose, right? You don't think like you used to, do you? You don't feel like you used to. You got things to rejoice in you never dreamed that you'd rejoice in. That's God. That's how God changed. He can change this world just like he changes one sinner's soul. He's God. And when he says, I will, count on it. Count on it. In the last verse of this chapter, we have another one. He says in it, the first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them. And then he says, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. And that's Jesus. I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. That's it. So think about this with me. You know, we sometimes say, I will. I mean, more often than we realize it, we use that term, don't we? I will. I will. And we have good intentions. I will. I will do this, and I will do that, and I will do the other. And it leaves our lips, and we go about our business. But it's an awful I will compared to his I will. Yes, it's awful compared to his. You know, we're in the midst of a political season, aren't we? Comes every 4 years, major season for this country. Comes every 4 years. And we hear a lot of I wills, don't we? Man alive, you can't turn on the tube without all of a sudden, I will do this, and I will do that, and I will do this, and I will do that. And I'm wondering, why don't you say it, by the grace of God, I will? You ever hear one of them say that? By the grace of God, I will. I will. Yeah. And on the other hand, some don't like that, and they're in the same campaign fight, and they're offended by it, and they say, no, don't say I will, say together we will. Together we will. Like, that makes a big difference. No, whether I will or together we will, we do absolutely nothing except God wills. Didn't Jesus teach us that? Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine be done. Yeah. So really, that is, in reality, neither is correct. His will overcomes all wills. Can you believe that? Jesus met a leper one day. Been a reject, cast out, can't come near the people. Stay so far away from the city. But he sees a crowd. In that flowing crowd, he hears a voice. It's the voice of Jesus. And the old leper's got one shot. Maybe I can get to him. I've heard that he has healing power. Maybe I can get to him. Well, they may stone me before I get there. That was the law of the leper. If he neared the people, stone him. Said, maybe I take the shot. And so he approaches Jesus. And down on his knees, down on his face, he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, if thou wilt, thou wilt, you can make me whole. Now, where's the doubt there? It wasn't in the fact that Christ could. He knew that. Christ could make him whole. No, it was in the will. If thou wilt, Gary, thou canst make me whole. That's us, isn't it? We don't doubt the power of God. No, sirree. There's nobody in here doubts the power of God. But there's a question about his willingness. It's not all clear, is it, about his willingness? So we go like the leper. If you will, you can make me whole. If he wills, he can turn this whole situation around, Steve. He can. We know that. He has the power, doesn't he? And we're counting on his power. America altogether can't do it. Certainly not. But he can. He can. Power belongs to him. So in reality, neither is correct. I will or together we will. He overcomes all wills. You know, I will is for the King of Kings, isn't it? It's for the King of Kings. It is his prerogative to will. To will. Now think about two or three things here, and I'll try to wrap it up here. Two or three things. Number one, think about this. When God says, I will, it is an I will uttered with deliberation. It is. He thinks about it. He's thought about it. Or he's spoken. He knows he's going to do it. Whatever he says, I will do. He knows it's going to be done. No question. No question about it in his mind. None whatsoever. No, sir. No question concerning ability? No, he's all power. All power. So think about that. His will comes with deliberation. Well, we read it in James. James said this in James, or in Acts chapter 15, in verse number 18, that great Jerusalem council, all the apostles had the word, had the word that they wanted to say and spoken. And James spoke up. He seemed to have been presiding over that council in the 15th chapter of Acts. And James says, known unto God are all his works. Are all his works? Yeah, from the foundation of the world. Known unto God. He deliberated on this thing before he spoke the first thing into existence. And when he said, let there be heavens, let there be earth, he didn't doubt it. It would come, just like he spoke it into existence. Let the earth be divided from the waters, it came about, just like he spoke it. Deliberation had taken place. Let there be lights. There were lights. Light for the day, the sun. Light for the night, the moon, the stars. All came about just like God spoke it. Liberation. No doubt. His will was in operation. And he accomplished all things according to that will. You know, we say, I will. We say that in haste a lot of times, don't we? We do. We say, I will. And then we have to stop and take time to repent. Because it just didn't work out like I willed it. You understand what I'm talking about? But God never has to repent. He says, I will, and it happens. It just happens. You see, we say, I will, under excitement, don't we? I will. Yeah, I will. We're talking, conversation about this, that, and the other. something tomorrow, something next week. I will. Yeah. Will you do this? Will you do that? I will. We have good intention. We're excited about it. We're persuaded we can do it. Are we compelled to do it with our excitement? And so many times afterwards, we have to say, we're very sorry not to have kept our word. I meant to, but I'm sorry. Things got in my way. Things that I did not perceive got in my way, and I'm sorry. But you know, God never speaks under compulsion. He's almighty. And he never has had to apologize. That's a religious cliche going about for years now, ever since I've been preaching. I've been preaching about 50 years and I've been saying this. It holds on to the theory of the rapture and stuff, you know. They see time getting worse, and it is. It got worse. All my life getting worse and worse and worse. And somebody say, well, you know, if God don't judge us soon, he's going to have to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them. Oh, my soul, don't perish such a thought. God don't apologize for nothing. He's God. He's God. I might have said that somewhere back then. Oh, God forgive me. Awful. No, he never speaks in a hurry. He doesn't. You and I do, but God doesn't speak in a hurry. He has infinite leisure. His word is not spoken without due deliberation. That's the first thing when you think about it. Second thing, when God says, I will, his resolution is supported by omnipotence. You know what omnipotence is? That's all power. All power. Yeah. You and I say, I will, but often cannot do what we had promised. What we will to do. Oftentimes we just can't do it. That can never happen with God, folks. Never, ever has it happened, ever. Never, ever will it happen with my God. Not at all. No, sir. He has all power to accomplish his entire will, whatever it is. Whatever it is. I hadn't figured it all out yet, but he has all power. I have no doubt about that. Then thirdly, when God says, I will, it's sealed with immutability. Immutability. We are always changing, but God never changes. He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He never changes. He's immutable. I am the Lord. He says this, doesn't he? Malachi, I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, You sons of Jacob shall not be consumed. He's made a covenant concerning my salvation. And because he is immutable, I being a son of Jacob, never fret, never worry. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you that are saved, you sons of Jacob, shall not be consumed. Ought to be, but no, sir, won't be. He's immutable. What he decided for us, Jason, that's what he does. He decided to save us, and we're saved. Just didn't mark it down, we're saved. Well, sometimes, Brother Terry, I'm afraid we'll be lost again. Mark it down, you're saved. And God did the saving, didn't he? Does he change from what he did? No. against his character, wouldn't it? No, sir. Yeah, we say today, I will. We mean it. But tomorrow, we wish we had never said it. The next day, we say, I will not. But then we do. But not with God. Not with God. He never has said, I will, and did not fulfill it. Never has he said, I will not. That's just totally out of the vocabulary of the divine one. He can't do that. I will not. It's concerning me, my good, concerning you and your good, he gonna do it. He gonna do it. We may not understand it, but he gonna do it. So when God says in the fourth place, I will, it will be carried out in faithfulness. I like this now. It's my last thought here. But to cap this off with this, because it's important. He says it in faithfulness. You see, God's faithfulness is an integral part of his nature. I read it way back over in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. He says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? That's God. That's this God. See, he's not a man. He's not like one of you, not like I. He's God. Above all. And he will not lie. Neither will he change his mind. But it'll be fulfilled. You see, God's limitless power and steadfast love and imply complete faithfulness, which contrast with human nature. You get that? God's limitless power. There's no limit to the power of God. His steadfast love, it never changes. What did Jeremiah testify of in Jeremiah 31? He said, thou hast loved me with an everlasting love. No change. Therefore, in loving kindness, thou hast drawn me. When it came time for Jeremiah to be affected with that everlasting love, God reached out there with the cords of love, as Hosea demonstrates. He reached out there with the cords of love, wrapped them around his precious servant Jeremiah, and he drew him unto him. That's what he did with me. That's what he did with me. Lived in sin, denying God, constantly warring against God, going about my life, doing my thing. But one day something happened. I didn't know what had happened way back there, but when God set his love on me in that covenant relationship before this world was, there was coming a time when he would throw those cords of love around me and draw me to himself. And he did that. He did that. He didn't fail there, Gary. He did that. Was I expecting it? No. Never. God deliberately loved me and in time brought me to himself, just like everyone that's been saved. That's God. That's God. Jeremiah wrote about it in his Lamentations. Oh, I love this. Chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. The old prophet said this. He said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. So, because his what? His compassions, they fail not. They fail not. They're new every morning. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Abraham would say this, God is faithful to his name and character. That's the first thing you think about. Why did he save you, Jason? For his own will. For his own sake. It says it over and over and over in the Word of God. For my name's sake, I did it. For my name's sake, I did it. Not for you, but for my name's sake. My love was set upon you from all eternity, and for my name's sake, which I cannot deny, in time I called you. Faithful to his name and character. He said in Hebrews 6:13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. It's verse 13. Go on and read the rest of that. Read through verse 17. Good reading. God's faithfulness, faithfulness to himself. What he's sworn to himself. He didn't swear by you. He didn't swear by somebody else. He swore to himself. No greater could be found. None whatsoever. And then God finally is faithful to his promise. You believe that? He's faithful to his promise. Peter wrote about it. God inspired him. God breathed into his heart. And he wrote about it. Peter said this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And some men count slackness. This is a text right here that so many have misread so many times. He's not slack concerning his promise. As some men count slackness. But his long-suffering. This is very important right here. To usward, usward, usward. Who is that? That's his covenant people. That's you if you're saved. Long suffering to usward. Why didn't he bring this thing to a close 200, 300, 400 years ago? He could have, couldn't he? No. I was out here 400 years ago. Way out here in the future. He had to save me because I was written down in his book before the foundation of the world. He's going to get me. This wasn't time. That's God, folks. That's the God I'm talking about, the God of this Bible right here. It's all spelled out in this one chapter that I've been trying to preach a verse from. Not willing that any of who? Us were. Long-suffering to usward, not willing that any of who? Of usward, his elect, his chosen ones, should perish. But that all of who? All of usward. Don't leave the key word, usward. You know how to read English, don't you? Stay with the subject. All the way through there. All referring back to the usward. Wish some folks would learn to read the Bible like they're supposed to learn, supposed to have learned how to read English. Stay with the grammar. Be wise, wouldn't it? But that all of usward should come to repentance. And that's where I came. I came to repentance. And he said, God's faithfulness is known through the fulfillment of his promises. Let's sing that song, 818. I think it fits real good right here.